keep the hymnal out and turn to the back to page 872. This will be our lesson in the Heidelberg Catechism today, and now that we are caught up, this is also for the adults, our lesson. So anyone planning on being an adult Sunday school class, let's pay close attention to these words. I will ask the questions, congregation, if you could respond with the answer to these three questions. Question 113, this is Lord's Day 44. It continues on page 873 there. 73. What does the 10th commandment require?
That not even the least inclination or thought against any commandment of God ever enter our heart, and that with our whole heart we continually hate all sin and take pleasure in all righteousness.
Question 114. Can those who are converted to God keep these commandments perfectly?
No, but even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of such obedience. Yet so, with earnest purpose, they begin to live not only according to some, but according to all the commandments of God.
And the last question this morning, 115, why then does God so strictly enjoin the Ten Commandments upon us, since in this life no one can keep them?
First, as long as we live, we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and so the more earnestly seek for righteousness and righteousness in Christ. Second, that without ceasing, we diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we be renewed more and more after the image of God, until we attain the goal of perfection after this life.
As we consider these words and meditate upon these words, I want us to consider this 10th commandment from our God and more. And more. God calls us to love the blessings He has given to us, His people. And that, in essence, is the summary of the Ten Commandments, then, in this 10th commandment. That God has blessed us with things, and positively speaking, we are to love what God has given to us. Negatively speaking, don't covet, don't lust, don't look after the things of your neighbor. His wife, his car, his possessions. God has given that to them, and He has given to you these many different good things. Don't look at your neighbor's grass and say, it's greener. I want that. The grass may be greener, which means we may ought to water what God has given us more. Take care of what we have. Recognize the goodness that God has given to us. And we see these three things in these three questions and answers. First, with the law, we are blessed to recognize our sin. That's a gracious word of God, that He shows us this behavior, this inward propensity that we have in our fallenness, that God has pointed out to us, that's sin. I'm not going to leave you in that. I'm going to show you it's sin, so that you can need and see, here's the connection here, that you need a Redeemer. You need someone to save you out of that sin. This is exactly what David says in Psalm 19. When he looks to the law and he meditates upon the law, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect. Reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey. Honey from the comb. By them, here comes question 113. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You hear the warning. You hear the declaration of the law. Thou shalt not covet. There's a warning. There's a command. There's a precept. There is where we begin to fear God. But as we fear God, as we grow in that wisdom of God, we grow in the knowledge of the Holy One, Proverbs 9:10, that teaches us Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And so as we continue by the Spirit and by the Word of God to learn more of our wickedness, of our shame and of our guilt, we are then pressed by the law of God, the tutor that is bringing us closer and closer to Jesus Christ. So that, yes, it is a blessing to hear that action is sin in God's eyes. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need a Savior. Second of all, as we begin to consider this, that's question 113 there. Second of all, we begin to consider 114. 114. Not even the holiest of men can keep these 10 words. So does that mean we give up? Does that mean we say, well, we'll just continue to wallow around in our sin like a pig in its filth? No, again, we have to recognize it's blessed to realize this is sin, which points us to the reality, as the psalmist points out, God keeps his servant. That's grace, brothers and sisters. No, we can't keep any of the holiest men in this life. Their obedience is still just a small beginning. Just a small beginning of what God expects. Christ was perfect. Ours, not. See, this is different than the declaration that you are righteous, that God views you and he sees Jesus. That's what we just talked about. This is now dealing with your feet are still on the ground. Your head's in the heavens, but your feet are still on the ground. And you're still called to walk in holiness. You're still called to walk in holiness. You're still called to not covet your neighbor's green grass. This is still a reality of life today. But the beautiful picture of this is, as the psalmist puts it, who can discern his errors? Who? No one apart from the Spirit of God. Acquit me of hidden faults. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted of great transgressions. It is the Lord who keeps his people. Yes, it is God who keeps us. It is God who puts our feet on the holy path, and he is the one who will not let us off. He is the one that is directing us to glory. It's not us. If it were up to us, we'd take every single detour that was given to us. We would take every opportunity to get off of this holy path, because sin tastes so good, and its appeal is so strong. The third reality here, as we see in this confession, in our confession, is that we are blessed to see our sin. We've got 10 ways, 10 things that God has warned us, has said, these are sins, thou shalt not. And he's given this to us so that when we see them, we see Jesus Christ, when we see the redemption we have in Christ, when we see the Spirit's continuing, putting a hedge of protection around us, then we repent. Then we believe. And this is question 115. As we continue each and every day to learn more and more about our sin, continue each and every day to learn more and more of how much we grieve God in our sin, learn more and more of how, just exactly how much Christ had to suffer because of how sinful we are, we continue to find out that each day we have to die to sin. Not just that day a long time ago, but even today, we have to die to sin. Even today, we have to be brought to life in faith. That's the whole point of question 115. That as I continue to learn how sinful I am by the work of the Holy Spirit, by God through His Word, I grow in a knowledge of my sin. And that's grace. God's not keeping me in my sin. He's told me these words so that I can see what is displeasing to Him. So I can see the consequences. It's hell. Christ on the cross. So that I can continue to pray for the Holy Spirit to help me this day. So that I can flee from temptation. Not be delivered to the evil one, as we will talk about in the Lord's Prayer. That's the first part. But the second part is that you begin to diligently ask God for grace. See how these are connected? You need the Spirit of God. You need the grace of God to live, to move, to have your being. This is why David closes out Psalm 19 with these words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. This is a prayer. It's not assumed. It's not assumed that the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart will be pleasing in God's sight. He still prays. He still prays. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. My rock, my boundary, my path, the thing that keeps me in, the thing that keeps me safe, the thing that keeps me protected. That was our second point. And my Redeemer. Your law is great. It has shown me my sin, but you also have shown me that you have redeemed me from my sin. Psalm 19 shows us what we confess today in the Heidelberg Catechism. That we are blessed to see the Spirit is working in us. That's that blessing. To see our sin. To see our Redeemer. To see that the Spirit is the one that keeps us. The one that continues to guide us to glory. And the Spirit is the one that continues to draw us and drags us to repentance and faith in God. This is our confession this morning. May we continue to cherish these words in our heart.